Today, California Governor Jerry Brown signs a $15 an hour minimum wage into state law, making it the highest state minimum, affecting the pay of an estimated 5.6 million workers. Last week, New York's Governor Cuomo announced that state legislators reached a budget agreement that would do just about the same, raising the minimum wage in New York City first, and then more slowly across New York suburbs. A big raise for people at the low end of the economy, but the real measure is not dollars per hour. It's whether these new minimums constitute a living wage for the people benefiting from them. Jared Bernstein is a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in Washington. He joins us. He's a former chief economist to Vice President Joseph Biden. Jared, welcome to The Takeaway.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Our measure on what a minimum wage is so subject to, you know, when we used to get the minimum wage. And so 15 might sound like a big deal to someone who's my age, but it's not to someone who's going from, you know, $11 an hour to $15 an hour. How do you begin to calculate what a minimum wage would be that would, in a particular area, and California and New York are very different, be a living wage, actually something you could live off of?
Right. I remember trying to convince FDR to go from 20 cents to 25 cents an hour back in 1930s. I'm exaggerating. I'm not that old. But that's where it started, 25 cents an hour. And of course, with inflation, the minimum wage has been raised over time. But it's always been a legislative issue. That is, it's never been linked directly to price growth, and it's certainly never been linked to regional price differences, which are very significant. What we see now are that there are 30 states in the country who are taking this minimum wage idea into their own hands and raising their levels above the federal. Lots of cities and localities are doing it as well. And part of it is very much designed to help get closer to some idea of a living wage, that is an earnings level that working families can make ends meet with. However, especially in expensive parts of the country, it certainly doesn't meet that benchmark yet.
What communities are close? And let's assume that New York City is probably not one of them because the cost of living is so high here, and San Francisco probably the same.
Well, I think the closest communities are places where costs aren't as high as they are in the coastal cities you mentioned, but the minimum wage is elevated. So some of our Midwestern cities have higher minimum wages. Washington, D.C. has a relatively high minimum wage. Of course, we have relatively high living standards here as well. But I think it's really important to remember that it's not just the minimum wage that helps families get to, if not a living wage, a living income. There's a very important public policy called the Earned Income Tax Credit. There's also a smaller tax credit called the Child Tax Credit. And these are refundable tax credits, meaning that you get them even if you don't have a tax bill, that help get family incomes closer to an amount that they need to get by. And for a family working full-time with a couple of kids, the EITC can add $5,000 to your annual income. So that, in tandem with a higher minimum wage, that's certainly getting some families closer to a living income.
We see populist politicians, signing a minimum wage law for political reasons, and I think that that's good and fine. But are there any places that are strategically combining a look at the minimum wage with the earned income tax credit and creating a tandem of policies that are going to overall benefit families in any strategic way?
Not enough, although the EITC is a national program. But one of the problems with some of these benefit programs is that as your earnings go up, sometimes your benefits go down. So you do have to try to balance that out. And I think public policy isn't quite there yet. And I appreciate the fact that you're framing this in terms of helping people to earn what they need to get by, because nowadays more and more people are really dependent on these low wages. We're not just talking about, you know, teenagers. We're talking about families with kids.
Jared Bernstein is senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in Washington and a former chief economist to Vice President Joseph Biden. Jared, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.